I'll be reading this morning from Acts chapter 8, 26 through 35. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come down to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Zach, for doing a good job of reading our scripture this morning. As we have heard, the Ethiopian eunuch was returning from Jerusalem unto Gaza. And no doubt that there would have been a good time that this gentleman had had, especially as he worshipped the way in which he was accustomed. But whether there was something spoken in Jerusalem, or whether he happened to purchase a scroll during his travels, or for whatever reason, we do not know, but we do know that he had a great interest as to read from the prophet Isaiah. Perhaps he just wanted to kill a little bit of time on his journey. And thus an opportunity arose for him to learn a little bit more. Remember that Peter tells Christians in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18 that we must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can't you see how this individual wanted to increase his knowledge? And thus, as he wanted to grow, you could see how his faith would increase. When we look at verses 27 and 28, we find that as he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot he was reading Isaiah the prophet. A lot can be said from reading the prophets. The more we read in the prophets, the more we realize just what all they had to say. Elsewhere in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 34 and in verse 16, interestingly, Isaiah said to search from the book of the Lord and read. Search it. Read it. See exactly what it's saying. The eunuch was exactly doing just that. And what happens the more we read from God's Word? Well, I'm sure you'll recall the words of the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17, what did he say? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes, there was something that the eunuch was searching, and by the providence of God would come to find that what he was seeking. That's where his faith would come from hearing God's Word. And we find that faith is very important in order to come to God. Since he was wondering who Isaiah was speaking about, which we'll come to later, he was speaking about God's only Son. And that's the only way unto God. In Hebrews chapter 11, there in verse 6, you'll remember the Bible teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The eunuch was diligently seeking, wanting to know exactly what was being said. And that serves as a good example to all of us. Because as Christians, once we begin to develop our faith must continue to grow. And Peter tells us exactly how our faith should grow. In his second epistle, in the book of 2 Peter, there in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, notice how Peter says to increase our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Can you see how the eunuch was growing in these areas? He was very diligent to read the Word of God. He wanted to know exactly what was being said. And no doubt because of being a eunuch, he had to exercise a lot of self-control. But also he persevered when the opportunity arose. And then only would begin to develop that godliness and brotherly kindness as Philip began to work with him. And certainly the love of the truth. The love for the brethren, and the love to continue his journey to share that very message. Yes, he indeed wanted to know exactly what he was reading. And as he was diligent to search the scriptures to find out, you may be reminded of how those in Berea were just like that. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 describes them. We're told that they were more noble, or some translations say, fair-minded, in those in Thessalonica, in that they received with all readiness. And they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether such things were so. You could see how the eunuch had that readiness, and how he was diligent to search the Scriptures to see exactly what was being so. But then we find there was a little problem the eunuch had. In verse 29, when the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot, Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. A very wonderful opportunity. The eunuch recognized the fact that, no, he did not understand what he was reading, and thus began to invite someone to come and guide him. How many people today do we know that do not understand, but instead of admitting they don't understand, claim that they do? They pretend that they do know everything there is to know, when there's not. And sometimes when we make false assumptions that we think we know or we don't really know, but it doesn't really matter anyway, that only leads to trouble, because we'll soon find out that God expects us to understand His Word. If we cannot understand it, we will be going the wrong direction. Keep in mind that James said in chapter 1 and verse 22 that it's not enough only to hear the Word, but we also must do it. If how can we do what God's Word says when we do not understand what He tells us to do? It makes sense then that we've got to know what He says, to understand what He says, and then to do it. Even Jesus, when you look at the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 15, you'll find that He encourages everyone to understand His words. In Matthew chapter 15, there in verse 10, the multitude had been called to Jesus. Jesus began to say to them, hear and understand. And then he begins to teach them. Not only did Jesus say to hear me, but hear me. Listen. Understand. Allow my words to reach your heart. If it does so, it can begin to do wonderful things. Yes, even as Matthew went on in his gospel, later in chapter 24 and verse 15, as Jesus began to teach the things that were spoken before by Daniel the prophet, notice that Matthew even interjects his own commentary. He says, whoever reads, let him understand. If we're going to read a passage of Scripture, we need to understand. And it's good that sometimes during our Bible classes, there's a lot of hands that go up and a lot of questions that are being asked. And I have not yet to meet one teacher that quickly overlooks that hand to continue on, because it's all of our responsibilities to understand what is being taught. That's what God expects us to do. And if we do not, we're only causing ourselves a lot more grief, a lot more anguish. And I can also think about certain members that are here today that are used to teaching school, and how many lessons and homework assignments have been given, only to find students do not understand the material, to come back and have their test being graded and they fail, or they didn't do it, maybe because they didn't know what they were doing, and the impact that it would have later on in life. But imagine the impact that it takes upon us as Christians later in our lives when we truly understand what God is teaching to us. Well, we find exactly that Philip wanted to help the eunuch to understand. In fact, in Romans chapter 15, notice there in verse 20 that Paul teaches us that it is God's will that we would all understand. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 20, here the Apostle Paul says, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. Even those that have not heard can later understand what is being done. But you see, there is a way that we have to receive the Word of God. Otherwise, we will not understand it. And I'm sure that you can guess what must be necessary. The one characteristic that abides forever. Out of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. But if we look back at the early part of the chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, notice how love is described beginning in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If the eunuch was going to understand what God was speaking, he had to have love. But you could see that he truly had a love for God, to know who he is and what he was saying. He wanted to have a love for the truth, to understand it the right way. He also began to develop a love for Philip, as Philip was to come and sit with him, proclaiming the same scripture. In verse 32, going back to Acts chapter 8, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and he will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Yes, he is truly asking all the right questions. Is Isaiah prophesying about himself, or is there someone that I do not know that he is asking about. Truly, Philip takes this opportunity to let him understand who Isaiah is referring to. But what happens if Philip would not explain it? Can you only imagine? What if by the Spirit he was called away to the eunuch and decided, no, I'm not going to take that opportunity? Well, not doing what he was called to do would have an effect on his own life, but imagine what it would also have on the eunuchs, not giving that chance to understand. You see, not understanding the Scriptures has its consequences. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the 13th chapter, you'll recall that Jesus taught the parable of the sower. And I'm sure in our minds we can go back and remember the different kinds of ground that the seed fell upon, how some did good and others did not. But when Jesus began to teach the parable of the sower, in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 13, he said, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Those that did not understand it, it was taken away. And if God's word is to be taken away from us, we can only imagine the consequences that would ensue. Just look at things that are going on in our world today, whether it be in our own area, our own country, or even throughout the rest of the world. Those that do not have the word of God are suffering much, much trouble. But what if we do understand the word? Well, certainly it will have its great benefits. Later in the same context of Matthew 13, as Jesus continued to explain the parable, in verse 23 he says that he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit. Some produce a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Imagine that fruit that will be produced. Certainly, the fruit that we could talk about of bearing more Christians, but also possessing the characteristics that Christ has set the example for us. And by living in the way that Christ has called us to live, yes, there is a hope of everlasting life that we can obtain too. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about that hope, especially when he taught the Ephesians in chapter 1. He says there in verse 18 that your eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Yes, we have the great hope that God has called us to receive, everlasting life, and the hope of heaven that is laid up. But can we even imagine the riches of His glory, of His inheritance? Imagine the things that we as God's children can inherit from Him. It's hard to imagine, but it's a wonderful blessing when we understand who God is and what He has done for us. But then later in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us something else that this helps us to do. In verse 17 of this chapter, here Paul says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Can you see the difference between those that are wise and those that are foolish? Jesus taught that, especially the parable of the 10 virgins. Those that were wise could enter into the banquet. Those that were foolish could not enter in. The door was closed and they were on the outside and cannot get in. But imagine when our final door is closed. If we understand God's will and have made the necessary preparations, we can be inside the pearly gates. But those that have not understood or taken the measures to do what was commanded will be on the outside looking in, and by then it'll be too late. Thus, one blessing is that we can receive wisdom. And certainly to use the wisdom in the proper way can have its many, many benefits. But then, in Paul's twin letter to the Ephesians, in his letter to the Colossians, he tells us another benefit in chapter 1. There in verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1, notice what Paul said. He says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Does this sound like the eunuch? Certainly, he wants to increase in the knowledge of God, and when he finds out what is pleasing unto God, yes, he is willing to do that. And thus, we are encouraged when we see someone doing the will of God. It helps us to better ourselves to do His will. And if we are truly pleasing unto God, imagine the ways that God will indeed bless us. Later in Colossians, the very next chapter, in chapter 2 and in verse 2, Paul went on to say that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Yes, it helps us to encourage our hearts. It helps us to encourage one another. And as he uses the expression, being knit together in love, can you see how we would draw closer to God? How God draws closer to us? How we as Christians, God's family, can draw closer to one another? That is truly a blessing in and of itself. And as Paul already hinted, it's nice to know that it is a blessing that others are indeed praying for us. When Paul was writing to the young man Timothy in his second epistle, and 2 Timothy in chapter 2, notice his encouraging words in verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 7. "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Paul is basically telling Timothy, "I am praying for you that God indeed will give you that understanding." Can you imagine perhaps that as the Philip was led to the eunuch, that he prayed that the Lord would give the eunuch understanding, that he certainly would realize this is what the Isaiah was teaching, and therefore this is what I need to do? Maybe if any of us struggle with understanding, we can be comforted to know that there are others that are praying for us to help us understand, and also, that maybe there are things that we need to understand as well. But finally, another blessing is that we can come to know God and Jesus and to abide in Him. Thus, we can give everlasting life. In 1 John chapter 5, this is what John said in verse 20. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. He says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Yes, John says that we can truly know who God is. We can truly know Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. That's what Isaiah was teaching, but at this point, the eunuch did not understand this. Once he comes to that understanding and realizing that by being in Jesus Christ, then he can have everlasting life. What is that connection? Well, Paul explained that to the Ephesians in chapter 1. There in verse 3, you'll remember the relationship between Christ and our blessings. Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have to understand who Christ is before we can be in Him. And once we are in Him, then we can receive all of those blessings. Thus, Philip began to let him know who Christ is. Back in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, the very next verse tells us that then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus unto him. He began to preach the very gospel of Christ. That's what Christ committed us to do, was it not? In Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16, we read about the Great Commission when Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Here is a creature that needed the gospel to be preached. And that was exactly what the Apostle Paul's mission was. When we go to 1 Corinthians, there in chapter 2, notice how Paul described that conviction that he had. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul said that's really what we need to know. And no doubt that was the attitude of Philip as he began to preach Jesus unto him. He says, "The eunuch, here is what Isaiah said." And this is who he's speaking about. When you realize these things, the rest certainly would be up to him. And so as we pick up then in verse 36 of Acts chapter 8, as Paul Harvey always says, let's hear the rest of the story. "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Yes, we understand clearly, the eunuch understood clearly. But there seems to be a missing link. Why was the eunuch baptized when apparently Isaiah said nothing about this? If we were to look back at what he was reading in verses 32 and 33, he was reading, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." There's nothing here that seems to indicate he needed to be baptized. How did he get that connection? Well, when we go back to Isaiah chapter 53, where these verses indeed were quoting from, where the eunuch was reading, he began to realize this is Jesus Christ, who was suffering for some very important reason. Yes, indeed, he was silent as he appeared before his accusers. Many of the gospel accounts tell us of how Jesus was led to die upon the cross. Questions were asked of him, but he remained silent. He answered nothing. Everything people were doing to him, he did not do back. Only Philip can make that connection to teach him this is who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of God, the one who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. And thus, he endured the suffering because of our sins, our transgressions. And so, things were said, understanding occurred. The eunuch realized Christ died for him. And when he realized this, he knew there is something I've got to do for him. And so he asked to be baptized. In fact, we're even told how they were baptized in verses 38 and 39. They both went down into the water, and then they both came up out of the water. His sins were washed away. He became a new creature, a child of God. That is the example for all of us this morning. Maybe we are not understanding the things that we need to know regarding the Word of God. But maybe we're hesitant to obey the gospel. But notice the eunuch heard it, he understood it, believed it, and immediately obeyed it. Just like the eunuch, too, we need to hear the gospel. As we looked at earlier from Romans chapter 10, verse 17, hearing God's word gives us faith. And without faith, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we cannot come to God. But then we've got to believe who Jesus is. That in fact He is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So yes, belief is a very, very important part. You'll recall in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer was commanded to believe, and he would be saved. And then when he did all that was commanded him by being baptized, we're told that he indeed had believed with all his heart. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 also talk about the importance of belief, but also with another element that we'll see in just a little bit. But then we have to be willing to repent of the very sins that Christ died on the cross for, our very own. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, remember Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that's why Peter on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, commanded the people to repent and be baptized. But then as the eunuch confessed that he believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so we must too. Jesus said that if we confess Him before men, He'll confess us before His Father who is in heaven. And so Paul said in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It leads us in order to be saved. But there's one final thing we need to do, just as the eunuch did, and that is to be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's why Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's why Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And that's why Peter also wrote in his epistle, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, baptism doth also now save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. This morning, have we heard the Word of God? Do we believe it? Do we understand it? If so, are we willing to obey it? We're just about to sing a song to encourage you if you need to do any or all of these. If you need to respond as the Ethiopian eunuch, won't you do so as together we stand and sing?